So during this month of October, we're reflecting on some of the hymns that we sing in church. And this Sunday, we're reflecting on Amazing Grace, which is a favorite of lots of people. I think it appears in like 1,300 different hymnals. But I'm not sure I have a lot to say about grace. I'm going to talk anyway, but... Grace, I think, is a very profound concept, but in some way, it's also a very simple concept. When we talk about God's grace, we're really talking about God's unconditional welcome. Grace simply means that God's transforming love is freely available to and meant for everyone, no matter what. And so to say that we are blessed by God's grace means we receive God's love and favor without doing anything to earn it. It's a gift given freely with no strings attached. Now, John Newton wrote this hymn, Amazing Grace. And if you know Newton's story, it isn't hard to imagine him writing a hymn that praises God's grace. Newton, especially early in his life, was a rather despicable person. But he found healing and redemption in the grace of God's love. Newton was born in 1725 in London and began a life at sea at the age of 11. He eventually became the captain of a slave ship. At the age of 23, he found faith in God after nearly drowning, but continued to work in the slave trade until age 29, when his health would no longer permit him to go to sea. After his career as a sea captain, Newton felt a call to ministry and was ordained in the Church of England in 1764, serving two parishes before his death in 1807. For many years, he remarkably saw no conflict between his former profession and his faith. And his hymn, Amazing Grace, was published in 1779. Now, eventually, Newton did become remorseful over his involvement in the slave trade and joined the abolitionist movement in England around 1785, helping found the Anti-Slavery Society in England. Surely the first verse of Amazing Grace describes his journey from captain of a slave ship to minister of the church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And indeed, what amazing grace, what amazing generosity and forgiveness that can redeem a slave trader. Maybe about the most reprehensible kind of person that we might imagine. And yet he found healing in God's love. He was lost, but eventually found. He was ignorant, but eventually he came to understand. In the letter to the Ephesians, it talks of the amazing grace of healing and new life found in God. When we find ourselves lost in our selfishness, far from God's path of love, Ephesians says it can be like a kind of death. Not necessarily a biological death, but the slow decay of our vitality, the slow closing down of possibilities until we're left hopeless and in despair. But God gives us Christ as a gift of grace to show us the way to new life. The Gospel of John says that Christ brought us grace and truth. That is the truth of God's love given to us without condition. And Ephesians says it is by this gift that we are saved, that we are healed and made whole as the children of God. When we forget or ignore our connection with the divine, when we're experiencing what we might call sin, or like I like to say, estrangement from God, then we can turn and find union again with God in the way of Christ, through his life and teachings in the way of love. That this is a gift of grace means it's available to us no matter who we are or where we are in life. And I think that also invites us to come to God's love with humility. As Ephesians says, nobody can claim the credit. No one is any better than anyone else. There's no division between those who are worthy and those who aren't worthy, because we're all worthy of being loved. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. Verse 2 of Amazing Grace says, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. All we have to do is accept God's love by putting our trust in the divine. There's nothing else that we have to do or can do really to earn God's welcome and love. It's offered in grace simply because of who we are, God's works of art, God's beloved children. But what about those words, saved a wretch like me? Certainly John Newton was a wretch for most of his life, much of his life, not most, much. But many people are uneasy singing that line, and I understand that. Wretch is a little strong. Most people are already trying to be good people. Most people don't qualify as wretches. And further, the church has in the past abused people by destroying their self-esteem through doctrines like original sin, convincing us that we're inherently bad. And that's especially true for gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer people who've historically been told by the church that they're evil or sick when it's simply not true. And when we're told by an institution that we're unworthy or for something that we cannot change, for something that is actually an inherent part of the beautiful way that God made us, it's a little unnerving to go to church and sing songs that say, I am a wretch. It feels like we're being asked to lie. It feels like it's not enough that others are falsely telling us that we're bad, but we're being asked to denigrate ourselves as well. And so I have no problem when people want to change that word. I think we often will sing soul instead of wretch, saved a soul like me. But on the other hand, although we are God's good and wonderful creation, part of that wonderfulness, I think, is the fact that we are imperfect. We have free will to make decisions, and sometimes we make less than optimal ones. Sometimes we don't act in our best interest or the best interest of others. And that first verse of Amazing Grace can also be a moment of confession. And confession isn't about declaring ourselves bad people, because we aren't. But confession asks us to name when we fall short, where we struggle, where we mess up. Because if we cannot name those things, then we aren't going to be able to change them and heal from them. When we turn and put our trust in God, I believe we are asked to begin to put behind us those things that cause us to feel estranged from the divine. Naming our struggles and what holds us back from being our authentic, loving selves, asking forgiveness if it's appropriate, opens our hearts to growth and transformation, to healing and to wholeness. It gives us the opportunity to move into grace and leave behind the errors and trials of the past. Ephesians reminds us that we are saved, healed, and made whole in Christ by God's grace. But then it also reminds us that having been created in Christ, we were created to be good people, to do good in the world. Now, I was once taught that the most important thing was making a statement of trust in Christ. But just saying the words doesn't mean a whole lot if it doesn't change the way we live. We're created to love and to support each other with compassion, to work together peacefully in community, to act justly toward each other. That's what God's kingdom is all about. Verses 3 and 4 of Amazing Grace talk of how the grace of God continues to follow us on our journey. The grace of God's love comes in an endless supply. God leads us through, the song says, many dangers, toils, and snares in life. And John Newton felt when he was writing this song that God was watching over him, even when he didn't deserve it or didn't ask for it. Writing, grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. God's grace protects and provides for us, gives us hope that no matter how much we mess up, we're always going to be able to turn back to God's love. God walks with us all the way to the end. The song says, God will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. To turn and seek transformation and new life in God is to seek harmony with God's desires for our lives. To live in the kingdom, love our neighbor, support each other. And when we find that connection with the divine, we find what the Bible calls eternal life, unity with God. The last verse of Amazing Grace, I believe, kind of alludes to this eternalness of God, unity with God, and the joy and the peace that it brings to our lives right now. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amazing Grace is to me a song of finding healing and wholeness in the grace of God's unconditional love. And in a sense, it's the story of John Newton's spiritual journey, but it's also an invitation for us to turn and move closer to God, to find our own healing and wholeness. It's an invitation to put our trust, whether it's the first time or the millionth time, to put our trust in God and open our hearts to the transformation of love. It invites us to ask, what do we want for our life? May we all hear the sweet sound of God's grace calling us. May we be healed and made whole in the love of God. Amen.